I'm Robert Evans, host of Behind the Bastards, and if you're like me, you're probably worried right now, in part because of the fascist insurrection on January 6th in Washington, D.C. But what if I were to tell you that what happened in D.C. was just the latest in more than a century of fascist attempts to take over democratic governments, many of them successful? Learn about the history of these insurrections and the history of anti-fascist actions attempting to stop them when you listen to Behind the Insurrections on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Do you ever wish you could get more from your podcast? Well, you can with BuzzFeed Daily, hosted by me, Casey Rackham.
And me, Zach Safford. On our show, we've got more good news and more pop culture.
More memes and more celebrity tea.
More of everything that's blowing up your timeline and trending on the internet.
Every weekday evening, we're giving you more of what you need to enjoy your day. Because what's life if it isn't to be enjoyed?
Listen to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Yo, 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 mic check, back in the building, episode 115.
Yep, 115.
Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we about to get busy. How you been, Josh?
Good, man. Good.
Chilling.
Holidays pass.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Christmas is past.
Christmas is past. We barreling towards
the
new year. Do you have any
millennium?
The new, listen. Did you say a new millennium?
I said, what is it? End of a millennium.
End
is it
of
a millennium? Or is it a decade? I guess it's just a decade.
This is
right?
A decade. Yeah.
Whatever.
I was like, how long did I sleep last night? No. What was going on? Yeah, end of the decade. End of the decade.
Yeah.
Everybody on Twitter is arguing about like what were the best albums of the decade. I saw a thread last night where cats were talking about To Pimp a Butterfly or My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, which to me, you know, and like, you know, maybe Lemonade, those are like the three, right? You know what I mean? It's, especially if we're talking like black music or like hip hop and hip hop adjacent music. Like, you know, what was like a more impactful record than those three?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
First of all, I'm really bad with dates, so I'm really bad at like
what
when
came
she
out
came
when.
Out.
Yeah,
I would definitely like. I'm not arguing To Pimp a Butterfly, Lemonade, or like whatever. I'm not arguing any of those. Saying like, oh, they're not. I just honestly, I don't remember what day when shit came out. So like, I might say shit from 2000, something from 2008 because I didn't realize, like, you know what I mean.
I feel like there's definitely some shit that probably came in like the very beginning.
Of the
decade.
Yeah.
It was funny though, because you know, mostly everybody's like arguing between those two on this thread. And this one guy, shout out to Backpack Underground Rap Fans. They never cease to amaze me. And I'm of that tribe, so I can like talk shit. But this one dude, I'm gonna edit this out. This one dude came and he was like, well, actually, you know, To Pimp a Butterfly was whatever, but album was the greatest album of the decade. I'm like, what? I knew the name, but hadn't heard the record. So then I listened to the record, and it was like the worst, like, white dude emo rap ever. And I'm like, fam, this is what impacted the culture the most, in your opinion?
Yeah.
To Pimp a Butterfly, to me at least, we're not going to go into a whole, you know, we just talking shit. We're not going to go into a whole best album of the decade thing.
I didn't prepare for that.
No, hell no. I'm not.
I didn't really prepare for that.
You looking at me like, wait, where are we going with this? I just this was on my mind because I saw it last night while I was scrolling.
I'm sitting here on Wikipedia, like, what album came out?
Trying to cook up a list.
Like,
that's what we should do. We should do gotcha themed episodes where 1 week will be your week, the next week will be my week.
We just drop random topics.
One of us is really prepared. prepared, and the other one is not prepared at all, and we got to bullshit our way through the episode. I'm going to write that down. That'll be a thing. I say that to say that To Pimp a Butterfly, for me at least,
we gonna be all right.
Come on. It's like, and I've been in rooms playing parties where I've dropped that record when it was at its height. It's a different thing. You know what I mean? That shit, there was so much, like the Black Lives Matter protests, police violence and all of this shit. That shit really captured something. You know what I mean? Much in the way that The Chronic captured the L.A. riots and then the whole L.A. West Coast culture, you know, around that whole moment. That shit captured a moment of this decade in a broader social and political sense. I don't know how you can seriously argue against that and then argue against it with, like, some backpacker record that ain't even a good backpacker. Yeah. Right? You know what I'm saying? Some, you know, if you're talking about like Ka or, you know, Rock Marciano or like some underground shit that's like super hard, then you know, you can argue, you know, with that. But like, it's like three white dudes who made this fucking bad record. I don't get that.
If you're going to do that, I'd say Fly God is a way more impactful record.
Right.
Because it's the sound of the last 5 years.
Started like, mad waves. You know what I mean? Yeah, a lot of people, you know, because we were talking about that too on Twitter about Ghostface. Ghostface, to me at least, that whole wave of like drug criminal shit, and like no drums, just like rapping over the sample. Mm-hmm. Ghost was doing that, you know what I mean, in the mid-2000s.
Yeah.
So Ghost kind of started the wave, and then Rock Marciano really, you know, like formulated it.
Yep.
And now you got a bunch of other people that sound like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, you talking impact. I guess because, and this will lead into our list. Because we did do a year-end list.
Yeah, year-end list. We have a top five for
We got
year.
Top five. You got your five. I got my five. I guess the point I'm trying to get towards or approach is that I don't know how you can argue an album and not argue impact.
Yeah, you know what's crazy, though? The artist of the decade doesn't have an album, I would say, of like, that's a solid classic.
Who's the art? Who are you that's talking Drake. About? Drake.
Dog, can't even like question his run.
Yeah, his run has been stupid, but
he may not have an album like that's like, you know, like Take Care is dope and
Nothing Was the Same is like the closest. Was the
same, Or If You're Reading This Is Too Late. Yeah. Those kind of joints.
Scorpion again, has records.
Yeah, Scorpion
Views
has
records.
Yeah. Oh, they all have records, and they all have like super hits. Like, you know what I mean? Out of like saying like, oh well, he doesn't technically have a classic. You know, I don't think he has a classic record. He has he has records that are really good. Like Take Care, Nothing Was the Same. And what's the other one? The fucking quote unquote mixtape one, the one he dropped out of nowhere.
Oh, More Life.
If You're Reading This, It's Too Late.
That's
those three records, like that was a dope run,
right?
Of like, yo, he hit none of them are classics, though, I don't think. But
yeah, and I wonder
he's got to be the artist. That, dude, he's never off the top. Never off the Billboard charts.
Yeah.
He's always on them.
He's I played at a party last night. I played what's the joint? Da 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 sometimes. Whatever rhythm.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say that word. But that shit, I was like, this is a hot fucking song. And it didn't even rock. Like One Dance did, or controller. He can jump right into like that, like kind of house, kind of reggae, Caribbean lane.
Yeah.
He got a bunch of songs that people be playing. Our kids gonna be listening to them songs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's definitely, for me, he's the biggest artist of the tens.
Yeah.
He's just, he was a, I mean, like, he's all over the place. He was the feature to have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he had, like, so many solo hits. Like, dude literally ran the 2010s.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and in different ways. Like, he had, what's the joint? Hold On, We're Going Home.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And then, you know, his earlier stuff where it was more like him straight rhyming, and then he did like the Marvin's Room type shit. Yeah. He just, yeah, he's like,
he had trophies, he had
trophies and shit. That's the shit.
Headlines, man. He had, like, you know what I mean? Like, he floats again. I mean, now, you know, he just dropped a new joint on Christmas Eve. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that war joint.
Yeah. Man, them getting that grime on, man.
Listen.
You know what I mean? Man, them, he doing his thing.
Niggas, I've been
doing his ting-ting right there, man.
Listen, tell you, I've been bumping the UK drill shit all week.
Yeah.
Not even because of Drake. I feel like, in a way, you know, follow me, I put my tinfoil hat on. On a spiritual level, I conjured this song out of Drake. I've been playing that much UK drill and grime last week.
Real shit, I wouldn't be surprised he dropped something the beginning of the first quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, it's been a little minute since he actually dropped something. Yeah. Scorpion came out like a summer ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
I'm here for it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I'm here for a whole grime album. Just drop the whole grime joint, yo.
Listen. If you do that, listen. Because that might bridge the gap between, you know, over here and over there. You know what I mean? On some hip-hop shit.
What's crazy was my daughter was like, Christmas Day, Christmas Eve Day, she's in there. She's like, I'm driving them home. She's like, oh, I'm listening to that new Drake John, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, I'm going to put on some grime. She's like, I want to hear that.
I said, hear that shit.
Like, what are you listening to?
Hear that Drake shit. Oh, yeah, that shit.
I'm like, that's what you're listening to. Like,
yo.
I'm like, the new gigs, that's all like Half of More Life. Like, I'm listening to gigs right now. Nah, so I don't care.
Nah.
I don't listen to dude.
I've talked about this before on the podcast. I've seen that shit at parties where, like, I'm playing, you know, some like trap shit or some modern shit.
Yeah.
And I'll mix in the grime joint or like some, not drill so much, but like a grime joint. And the beat come on and niggas is like rocking. Somebody start rapping and that accent, yeah, motherfuckers leave the dance floor. That's really what it is. They leave the dance floor.
Though it's crazy, it's like you mix it in like grime, which is like same kind of trap beats a lot of times, that kind of shit. It's like not even mixed in garage. Like you're not even mixing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like be something if you was doing that and you was like, oh, I'm mixing in this garage. Yeah. Like and you're like,
I'm like, even the subject matter. Like,
yeah, yeah.
This nigga's talking about violent shit. Yeah, they talking about trapping.
Drugs and shit.
Yeah, it's like shit y'all like, motherfuckers. They ain't trying to hear that shit.
Nah, it's the accent,
trying to
hear that
shit. Yeah, yo. Motherfuckers are the same way with, like Spanish rap or, like rapping other languages, French or some shit. You know. I get it, but I'm, you know, I grew up kind of hearing like other kinds of rap from other places. So it's not that big a deal. Like, oh, this motherfucker. The only, might edit this out. The only thing, like, if niggas is like rapping in like German or some shit, I'm like, that shit is rough.
Harsher language.
Yeah, you sound mad rough to me. Yeah. You sound like mad, like Germanic, like a Visigoth or some shit rapping at me. I don't know if I'm trying to hear that shit.
Fucking, what's my man's name from Ghostbusters 2?
The nigga, Vigo?
Yeah, Vigo.
Is that his name?
Yeah. Vigo the Carpathian.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, there's a record out here by some dude, and it's called Vigo the Carpathian.
He on the mixtape, it's like a painting of him with like the armor on and shit. Yo, which one of y'all niggas is doing that? That's definitely a thing. My man from Ghostbusters. I want to watch Ghostbusters 2. I haven't watched that shit. Yeah, I haven't watched it in a minute.
So on Christmas, like last year, I got my mom wanted the you know, it broke out like they came out with those Nintendo Classics where it was like the mini Nintendo and you could play like 200 and some games.
Yeah, yeah.
So my mom wanted one and I didn't get it for her last year. But this year she was talking about it again, and she kept asking, like, when I would go to like GameStop or something to get some shit for the kids, she was like, oh, we'll see if they got it, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And then she looked it up online, and she was going to buy it, and she, like, hesitant. My mom real, like, I'm similar to her in a lot of ways now, especially with my kids, of, like, yo, like, I could spend money on my kids. I don't need to spend money on something for myself.
Right.
Like, so if it was, like, 50, I'd be like, oh, man, I could get something for my kids instead mm-hmm. of getting that shit for myself. So, like, I knew she was, like, she was talking about it, but she wasn't going to end up buying it.
Wasn't going to get it, yeah.
So, couple days before Christmas, I grabbed the joint for the little mini Nintendo John, and it's not the original, like, the mini John, mini like Nintendo put out, because like they stopped making those.
They had
a limited run of them, so it's like, you know, it's kind of like the off-brand joint. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like the Soulja Boy version.
shout out Soulja Boy.
But it does. It had what she wanted. She wanted Mario Brothers, essentially. Really, it's the only thing she really cared about. So I bought that John 4, and dog, I'm not gonna lie, it was like Christmas, like
88,
dog. Ooh, I was in the crib.
Ooh, yo.
She's like, oh, can you hook it up to my TV? And so I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, but when I opened it, it had the AV inputs, the red, white, and yellow
joints.
Cool. I was like, yo, I didn't even think. I figured it would be like a USB hookup. So I was like, I don't even know if your TV has that. TV's like brand new and shit.
Right.
I was like, I don't know if your TV's even going to have this shit. But it did. So I hooked the joint up. And first off, you can definitely tell, like, this system is not made for, like, her TV. Like, her TV's, like, you know, fucking, it's not plasma. It's the new shit, whatever that new shit is.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's all kind of, like, the graphics is even more 8-bitty than they would be. Oh, like,
shit, yeah.
So
yeah.
I plugged the joint in. Dog, I started playing that shit. Then I'm looking around, like, it had Sight Bike on that joint.
Ooh, Sight Bike. Like, yo.
Yo, I'm killing this joint.
Let me ask you, did it have Contra?
Has Contra on there.
Listen.
I played Contra, Super Mario Brothers, Excite Bike. It had the Nintendo, it had the Ninja Turtle joint. Where they was like, remember they were like walking around and you had to go down into the sewer?
Yeah.
Had that joint on there.
I had that shit. Wow.
Yeah, it had that joint on there.
So I might have like an acid flashback to start playing that shit. Like, to childhood.
Because it was Christmas Eve morning. Because I do Christmas essentially the day before with my kids. That way then they go to their mother's house for like real Christmas, word, quote unquote. So like it was Christmas Eve morning. So I had to go to therapy that morning, physical therapy. So I was sitting there playing, dog. I played this shit for like an hour and a half. I was like, oh shit, I need to get my ass.
Got
to
bounce.
They got to close in like an hour. No. I got to get the physical therapy.
See?
But yeah, I sat there for a while just playing the games and shit. Like, then like my daughter came in and she was like, oh, let me play. And she's trying to play the Excite Bike, John. She was like, she couldn't get it down. So I just took the, I was like, well, let me show you.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. I got you.
Like, you do your little brother. So I'm like, I'm going to show you how to play.
Uh huh.
It's just used for you to play the whole time.
Damn.
I think they have Tecmo Bowl on there.
What?
Listen. I gotta go through it. I'm pretty sure I saw it listed on the John. Yeah.
Tecmo Bowl, when you could run with Bo Jackson and Marcus Allen. Yeah. Come on, yo.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. And then my shit was Super Tecmo Bowl when they had all the teams.
Mm.
And you'd be Randall, and like Randall was faster than everybody on the floor.
It was faster than God.
Dog.
Yo. How much them Jones cost?
$40.
What?
Yeah,
buying one of them shits today.
It wasn't real expensive. It wasn't real expensive.
I don't trust myself to be like a video game person anymore because, like, you know, I have to like really, you know, be on it. Like, I don't have like spare time to It's not like I have like residual income just coming in as a person. I gotta
You ain't on the money train?
So I gotta be
you
like
don't speak money, man.
Nah, yo. I gotta be like pitching editors, like, yo, you wanna publish this story? Oh, I got this angle, this, that, and the third. Or I gotta be going back and forth DJing and all this other shit just to like make money. I don't know if I could be like a video game nigga because it might like cut into my productivity.
Yeah.
Like,
no, dog, honestly, I mean, I sold my PlayStation last year. It's part of the reason is because of that. Like, that shit takes up, it was taking time I could be creative, doing creative shit.
Yeah, too much
time. I'm sitting there playing like 5 hours of 2K. Like, you know what I mean?
I'll be playing live on my phone, and I'm just like, I'll play like a whole season, just like, just rocking it out. Yeah,
like, I'm trying to build my career, John, and it's like, I could be building my career on 2K or building my career. Like,
right, you know, in a literal career. Yeah. Yeah, yo.
Definitely was taking way too much of my time just to sit around and bullshit. You know what I mean?
But I don't want to be one of them dudes that's like just in the crib playing games. Like, oh.
Yeah.
That's not the life for me.
Yeah, I was like, I'm kind of good on being the dude who's in the crib playing games all the time and shit. Like, I think, like, you know, for a lot of dudes that's like more quote unquote settled down.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? With, you know, they're like, listen, I work, you know, got my gig with SEPTA. And you know right. what I mean? Like,
work
you know,
for the city or
something. Yeah, I got my lady. This keeps me in the crib, not out there wilding. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's cool. But, like, I'm trying to do. Like, for me, it's like every time I'm sitting there playing PlayStation, I could be working on another project or something like that.
Right.
That's how I'm looking at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's no problem with, like, playing. Like, if you can manage your time. I'm shitty with managing time. That's my problem.
That's the thing.
Yeah. I think, for me, it's a specific thing for me because I'm shitty with managing my time.
I'm essentially, like, I'm an adult. You know what I mean? I do my thing or whatever. On the inside, like, my spirit, I'm essentially a child.
Yeah.
So, I still need
clothes I haven't put away. Like, I had... I had a bag full of like clothes I took from the dryer. Like I put all the clean clothes into a bag, and then I just sat there at the foot of my bed and lived out of that for a couple of weeks.
Oh yeah,
till I needed to wash clothes again, and now they're just piled on top of a dresser, on top of a table, waiting for me to put away, and I'm just picking through them. Like I have time to take like 40 minutes to go downstairs, put clothes away.
No time at all,
but. I don't have time to do that. Like, yeah. my brain just won't allow me to do that. I'm not great with managing time, and I can't give myself more distractions.
Yeah, yo, I try to minimize distractions. You know what I'm saying? I want to get, like, the NBA League Pass shit.
Yeah.
And just watch basketball a lot, but, you know.
Yeah, I caught my time for like the Sixers, and like that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And then even now, like there's been times where I've just been like, you know what, I can't like not do shit that I'm working on and sit still for 2.5 hours and watch the Sixers. Like I'll just watch it another time.
This decade is kind of crucial for you and I.
Yes,
we've known each other since we were 14, 15, some shit like that. This, you know, we kind of pissed away. Well, I won't speak for you. I speak for myself. I kind of pissed away my 20s. You were doing your thing, you know what I mean? So now we reconvene in our 30s, and we're trying to, like, make it happen. This next decade is, like...
Really important.
It's a roll of the dice.
Things get done in this decade.
There's a lot of money on the table right now for this decade. So, I gotta minimize distraction and be really focused.
Yeah, and that's my big thing. It's just, like, it's simply about... Oh, I need to be focusing on shit to do as opposed to being like, oh, let me fuck around for like another, you know, I can fuck around for a day. Fuck it. And it's like,
right.
That day turns into a week. And now I'm like, oh, well, I'm a week behind on something I wanted to get done.
You ever blow a whole week?
Yeah.
Just on nothing.
Oh, yeah. On a regular basis.
That shit is the worst. Yeah. It's the worst. I'll say this though. Meditation helps. We kind of all over the place, but fuck it. Meditation kind of helps with training your brain in those ways.
Adderall, too.
Adderall. Does cocaine work like that? I don't know. I never did cocaine before.
I mean, yeah.
Kind of does? Okay.
Yeah, it gets you like hype and gets the brain running. The brain juices going.
It's like, yo, I need to like open all of... the bottles and cans in my house right now. Let's do it. That'll be a project.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Now, definitely, I know they say Adderall, like, really, like, gets you nailed down into doing shit.
Goddamn. Before we proceed, you want to take a break now?
Yeah, let's take a break.
All right. We'll be right back.
Who is David Bowie? Well, that depends on who you ask, or which record you play. To some, he's Ziggy Stardust. To others, the Thin White Duke, or Major Tom. But who is David Bowie really? To answer that question, we'll have to go off the record. My name is Jordan Runtog, and I'm the host of Off the Record, a new music biography podcast from iHeartRadio. Off the Record goes beyond the songs and into the hearts and minds of rock's greatest legends. Every season profiles one classic artist, taking listeners on a wild ride through their extraordinary career. The first season examines the life, or rather lives, of David Bowie. Each episode of the 11-part audio event tells the story of one of his iconic personas. Together, these faces form an intimate portrait of one of the 20th century's most influential figures. So who was David Bowie? Tune in to Off the Record to find out. Listen and follow on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hello, lovelies. This is Arden Marine, and you may know me from Chelsea Lately or Shameless, or more recently as Regina Sinclair on Insatiable on Netflix. I want to tell you about my podcast, Will You Accept This Rose, where we recap all the seasons of The Bachelor franchise, and we are very excited to talk about the new season of The Bachelor with Matt James. Each episode, we bring in amazing celebrity guests, and we have a bunch of amazing guests planned to cover this season with us, including Lance Bass, Ashley I from The Bachelor franchise, Paget Brewster, Doug Benson, Jerry Traynor, Rob Benedict, Lauren Lapkus, Brian Safi, Ross Matthews, Kate Micucci, Scott Aukerman, Miles Gray, Lacey Mosley, Michelle Collins, and more. If you watch The Bachelor franchise, you're going to love hanging with us while we get into the hot details of the show. You may have other choices in Bachelor podcasts, but none that are this funny, and we are truly fans. Catch our episodes every Wednesday and listen to Will You Accept This Rose on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast. Join us on this love journey.
And we're back.
Yep. Yo, did you check out Eddie Murphy on SNL?
I did. I'm lame, so I fucking love
you like SNL.
SNL
anyway, yeah.
And people, it's funny because like folks will be like, the common thing is like, oh, SNL's not funny anymore. Yeah, you know what I mean? I like SNL back in the day. I like all SNL.
Like,
there's certain seasons that are rough.
I always think like SNL's hit or miss. Even in its like prime, it's hit or miss.
That's the thing. All of that shit with like Belushi and all them niggas was, you know, God
well,
bless
you
the
know
dead.
What it is. It is, you know, it's the nostalgia thing. Everything in the past was better. It's
right,
like,
right.
Dog, a lot of that shit from the 70s wasn't good either.
It wasn't funny.
No.
I fuck with SNL now. Like, a lot of times on a Saturday,
yeah,
I'm out at, like, a club. I'm DJing or whatever. But Sunday morning, listen, tell you, like, I go right on YouTube,
yeah,
and watch SNL, like, all of the skits that they did.
Dude, it's always good for a skit or two. Like, you know what I mean? It's always going to have a good skit. Like, they got talented people that come through their writer's room. So, like, it's always going to have good... You're going to, like, even in its worst years, it's going to have good sketches.
All of the, this is how much I like SNL, and I just thought of this literally right now. All of the women and black folks on SNL's cast right now, I follow on Instagram.
For real?
I don't follow none of the white dudes, because they're like, eh, whatever. But, like, all of the women and, like, the brothers on there, yeah, I follow on Instagram. So, yeah, I fuck with them. I had to follow the sister that just, that they just hired, I think, like, a year ago or something. Maybe not even a year. But I got to follow her, too, because she's funny, too.
I mean, but Eddie's joint was, like, amazing.
Yeah. Shout out to Eddie Murphy for, like, you know, being, like, a universally beloved figure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If folks don't remember, like, younger folks, a few years ago, Eddie Murphy... was caught, because I don't like that language around it. You know, a tabloid had published a story about him with, like, a transgender woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And folks were trying to, like, use that as the thing. You know what I mean? To, like, oh, no, you can't. You got to get him the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? But, like, he persevered. You know what I mean? He persevered through society's like rampant misogyny and transphobia.
Yeah, I know he hadn't been back to Saturday Night Live in a long, like 30 years.
Yeah.
I don't think he showed up to the big anniversary joint they had not too long ago.
Right, right.
And like everybody was there.
Yeah, because wasn't it like 30 years?
Yeah,
like,
I think it was
recently?
30 years or something like that. He didn't show up for that, I don't think.
Yeah.
I know what part of what I know, like, for one thing was, I think David Spade had a part, or like a show on, like a show that was on there or something like that.
Okay.
Or it was, no, David Spade, I think, had a show on Comedy Central, but Lorne Michaels was the exec producer.
Right.
And it was like he showed a picture of Eddie Murphy behind his head. It was kind of like a news show type thing.
Right.
And he was like, what do you see, kids? A fading star.
Whoa.
And it was like in the mid-90s when Eddie's career was on like a downturn.
I don't really fuck with David Spade like that.
Like, my whole thing with David Spade is like, oh, you have a lot to say for somebody whose career is like super up and down all the time.
Right. The fuck was you in?
And you were never a genius.
You wasn't him.
Yeah,
you
was never a genius.
Yeah, I don't like that little like slick shit. Like, come on.
My big thing with Eddie on Saturday Night Live, and I saw somebody write this, and it was like, it's perfect in the same kind of framing. It was just like, you're watching a master at work.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the, like, do you realize how lucky you are to see Michael Jordan play or LeBron play? Yeah. Like, these dudes whose names will go down in history. It's like being able to see Wilt play back in the day. It's like, you know how lucky you really are to be able to watch.
Yeah. Generational talent, exactly. As they say. Yeah.
And that's what Eddie is. He's like, as far as comedy goes, he's a generational talent.
Yeah.
Like, to be able to slide right back into like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
And rock that
Gumby,
shit.
And like all that. I don't know how much he wrote or whatever, but like the idea to come back and do Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood as a thing on gentrification,
right,
is genius. So like, I don't know if it's their writers or what he involved in or whatever,
but team effort.
Yeah, however that came about, like that's magic to do it that way. Like, because when I saw he was gonna be on there, I was like, oh, I wonder if he's gonna do. And I'm like, yo, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood would be dope as a gentrification storyline.
It's crazy.
And then it came on as a gentrification. I was like, oh, that's magic. Like, you know what I mean? The shit, doing the Gumby shit, doing the Velvet Jones joint, like all that stuff.
That's
like,
so funny.
Was like hit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it hit perfectly. But it was great. If you haven't seen it, it's on Hulu. Go back and watch it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, shout out to Hulu, yo, for having like all of the SNL shit up there. I fuck with it.
There's genius on SNL if you go through it. Like, you know what I mean?
I loved it as a kid. My pop used to love it. I fuck with SNL.
Me and my mom and my daughter went to the mall yesterday. And my oldest daughter, my 15-year-old, we were talking, and I forget what I mentioned. Oh, she asked me, did I see, years ago, when The Force Awakens first came out, the dude, Adam Driver, who plays Kylo Ren, the bad guy in the movie or whatever, they did an undercover boss thing with him. And my daughter was like, oh, did you ever see that? Did you see that, the new one? And I was like, no. I was like, maybe that's old. That's from a couple of years ago.
Right.
She was like, yeah. She was like, what is SNL?
Oh, shit. Wow.
Because she's pretty much grown up when, like, TV is on demand for her.
Right.
So, like, she watches, when we were kids, it's like, yo, if you were in the crib on Saturday night, like, you could watch Saturday Night Live. And if you didn't watch it that night, you didn't see it. You know what I mean? Like, unless you recorded it with, like, a VCR tape.
Right, right.
But, like, there was no, like, oh, you know, she pretty much lives on the idea of, like, oh, I watch shit when I want to watch it.
Yeah.
So, like, the idea of, like, SNL being an event thing is not something she understands.
It's crazy you say that, because I hadn't even thought about really how much the paradigm has shifted as far as like on-demand media versus live events. Remember back in the day when they would premiere videos like Michael Jackson?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They would premiere. I remember when Remember the Time came out and they showed it on Fox. And it was the first time anybody had seen that movie. Is it Fox? I don't think it was MTV at that point.
No, I think it was Fox.
It was Fox, and they premiered it. And I remember my family was at the crib. And like, we were like watching the same as what had happened with Thriller, you know, years prior. My whole family came over to the house and watched Thriller and watched Remember the Time. Like that. Outside of stuff like the Super Bowl.
I'm pretty sure, I don't cut you off, I'm pretty sure Black or White premiered right after an In Living Color episode.
Yep. I remember that shit too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, on Fox. That's what I'm saying. I remember that. There was event programming at that. There isn't that kind of stuff anymore.
Not so much, yeah.
No, like, so she was like, what is Pete? When she was like, what is fucking Saturday Night Live? I was just like, what?
That's so wild.
But I guess, like, I mean, like, how much is that? Like, unless, like, Drake's, like, hosting it. Like, would she really, like, you know what I mean? Would she watch?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, who's hosting that she has any kind of...
She's really going to fuck with.
Yeah, like, she's like, oh, I really like this person. I'm going to watch them host this show. Like, she doesn't have any... She doesn't care about that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So, I was just surprised that she had no idea there was a show, like, what SNL was.
That's wild, but it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah, it makes complete sense. I mean, and like, she grew up in a house where I watched it all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, my mom watched Saturday Night Live, so, that's how I knew about Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
So, and it's like, you know, on a Saturday night, she's watching what she wants to watch on Netflix. Like, she's not worried about, like, oh, I'm going to watch fucking this 50-year-old actor host. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
fucking like Willem Dafoe or some shit. Yeah,
she has no interest in, like, oh, they're having, what's my man with the whose voice is often imitated, Bull, King of New York.
Christopher Walken.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you know, she's really hyped because it's the 15th time Christopher Walken's hosted Saturday Night. Right. Like, she doesn't care, dog. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Or Alec Baldwin's back as the host.
Oh, it's Alec Baldwin.
She doesn't care. She's never watched 30 Rock. Why would she care about any of that?
I love the section when Eddie did like the monologue and they brought out like Chappelle
and
Tracy Morgan and they brought out Keenan.
Yeah.
Folks were on Twitter. Niggas on Twitter are mean anyway. Folks are like, oh, why you? Or, and Chris Rock was there.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, they should have cut Keenan out. Or people were like cropping the photo.
The picture, yeah.
Like, come on, he putting in work. He a black man in comedy. He putting in work. He's an institution at SNL at this point.
Dude, he's the longest running member of the show. Like,
who would have fucking thought that? Come on.
You can't write him out. He's been hilarious. Listen, I was not a big Keenan and Kel dude.
Yeah, didn't grow up on that show.
No, all that was like a couple years after us. We had pretty much stopped watching Nickelodeon at that point.
Absolutely.
All that was like the next like 5 years down or something like that. So like he wasn't, when he came on to SNL, it was like, oh my God, like Keenan got that job. It was just like, oh, okay. Where's the other dude?
The boy. Where the other boy at? Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know them from away from each other type shit. Like,
right.
Good Burger was not a thing for me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's different generational.
Yeah, but like, folks, like, fuck with, like, that dude is like an institution there, and he's been a writer there for a long time, and, you know, he's a funny fucking dude. Like,
he's funny as shit on that show.
That's the thing. I've never seen him on there and been like, well, that motherfucker corny. Like, no, he's funny. He's a funny dude.
Colin Jost is not funny. You know what I'm saying? When he's like talking shit about like Bernie Sanders and shit, he's not fucking funny. Keenan is funny, though.
Yeah, Keenan's funny, man.
You know what I mean?
Keenan is a funny dude. But no, it was great, man. If you haven't seen it, I would say go check that out on YouTube or Hulu, either one.
Word. And shout out Eddie Murphy.
Yes, a shout out Eddie Murphy, the GOAT.
I'm ready for him to do a stand up.
Yeah.
I'm more so like I would absolutely fuck with him, you know, doing a stand up and would watch it. I feel like film is like his thing now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wanna see him like in films more. You know what I mean? I love the Dolomite shit.
The Dolomite joint was amazing.
Even though he didn't really play Dolomite, he kind of played himself. But it was like Eddie telling Dolomite's story, which was cool. But I want to see him just in like more shit.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait. Yeah, I know he's got the movie coming, Beverly Hills Cop 4 coming through Netflix.
So that is official.
Yeah, Coming to America is coming out. Coming to America 2 is coming next year, I think. And you have, it's either next year or early 2021.
Yeah.
And then you have the Netflix stand-up special that he's supposed to be doing.
Shit.
So like, there's a bunch, we're going to be seeing a bunch of them.
I wonder about the background, you know, the machinery behind that.
Yeah.
Like, has he got new representation? It's like, no, we finna put you back on the top. Or is that, I'm assuming it's coming from him,
well,
too.
I know you watch the comedians in cars getting coffee with him. He talks about, like, he was a stay-at-home dad for a long time.
Oh,
he
shit.
Talks about it in the monologue, too, about, like, you know, who would have thought, like, I was a stay-at-home dad and Bill Cosby is a rapist in jail. Which is facts.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry to tell y'all.
Yeah, write a fucking letter if you feel otherwise.
But he was like, I think he just, like, his kids are moving out. Like, his kids are older and shit.
He ready to rock.
He's like, well, I guess I can go back to doing it. Like, there was a big thing. Like, George Lucas did that, too, for a while. Like, he decided, I'm just going to be a dad. I don't want to do, you know, I'll produce and stuff, but I don't want to direct and stuff.
Shit.
I don't wanna... And then once his kids got a little older, he got the bug to do stuff again. It's like, you know, your kids really need you when they're, like, 0 to, like, 12. After about that, they start going, like, I don't want to be around you.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
They independent as hell.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
I think a lot of that comes to like, hey, well, you know what? All my kids kind of now want to do their own thing. And like, you know, I got heard for years listening to dudes like Cypher Sounds. Shout out to Cypher Sounds. Yeah. And he said, and Chris Rock and Neil Brennan would be like, right. Yo, you go to his house and he's still the funniest dude in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
In a room full of comedians, Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, all these dudes, he's still the funniest guy in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's still really funny, and he still talks about wanting to do stand-up. And, like, I remember hearing that from Neil Brennan, like, 5 years ago.
Right.
And him going, like, yeah, he thinks about it, but he's kind of, like, he's worried about, like, what he could do nowadays and, like, where he's kind of at and, like, what's he got to talk about.
Yeah, got to talk about. And then, like, the sharpening the skills
and
shit.
Yeah, yeah. Like, because, you know, listen, it's hard to work out now, like, as far as with... For people who don't know, as a comedian, working out is like going to the club and like just getting up there and working on your jokes. Like,
yeah, yeah.
What you see in a stand-up routine is shit that people have worked on for months.
That shit is polished.
Yeah, that's
maybe
like
a year
of
them,
exactly,
like,
of just going and working out, like finding what the funny part of the joke is and
right.
Like
how
the
to
timing,
deliver it.
All that kind of shit.
Yeah,
exactly. The delivery method, like. How you start that joke, how you're delivering that joke in April, you're not delivering that joke in July. Like, that joke is completely transformed and you found a nugget that was good in there.
Right.
So, like, now because people can record you on your phone, like, if you're Eddie Murphy, you show up at fucking the Laugh Factory or whatever, like, dude, they're going to tear you apart. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's like, yo, Eddie's not funny no more.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Remember, which they were doing that shit with... Chappelle, when Chappelle was doing these 5-hour long sets.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, some of it's really good and some of it's terrible.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was like, Eddie, I mean, Chappelle was just getting on stage doing 5 hours of talking.
Yeah, you show up and freestyle anything for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Nick's can't even freestyle off the dome with anything for like 5 minutes.
No, not at all.
Come on.
So yeah, definitely go check that shit out. Like, I can't wait for the year of Eddie, dog, because this is like we kind of got the end of the year, like we kind of got like Eddie at the end of the year, like starting to get his prominence back.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I can't wait to see like going forward.
He gonna do it.
Yeah,
in 2020 he gonna do it.
Yeah.
Let me propose something to you. The TV thing, we bring it back next week.
That's fine.
And
yeah,
talk
yeah, I was
about
gonna
it.
Get ready to skip. Yeah, I was getting ready to say, do you want to do? What's time is it? Should we get into another break real quick?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll get into our top 5 rap albums of the year.
Yep.
Word. We'll be right back.
What do explorers, an Army officer, and a Minnesota insurance salesman have in common? They all wanted to be the first to reach the North Pole, but only one of them made it. I'm Kat Long, science editor at Mental Floss and host of the new podcast, The Quest for the North Pole, which dives into the centuries-long race to explore the Arctic, find the Northwest Passage, and conquer the top of the world. With a cast of daring adventurers and some pretty determined amateurs, the race to the pole reveals the human desire to solve mysteries of geography and the soul. We'll look at the important Arctic expeditions that filled the blank spaces on the map and recognize how indigenous people made them successful. We'll examine what pushed explorers to venture ever farther into the unknown and uncharted, and how the climate crisis is changing the Arctic today. Listen to The Quest for the North Pole every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If I could be you...
And you could be me?
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
And we're back. So, for the past, probably this past 10 years for me personally, I'm a music writer, so December is always like end of year,
end of year stuff. Yeah.
Everybody that I write up for is hitting me up for lists and shit.
Did you get a lot of end of the decade stuff this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised.
End of the decade stuff. It's funny, too, because I write for a bunch of different publications, and they'll ask me, like, oh, what was your end-of-year stuff, or what was your end-of-decade stuff? But they have to vote amongst the staff and the freelancers and everything.
Yeah.
So a lot of my shit don't even end up making it. You know what I mean? Like, some of it does, but then other stuff, I'm like, other people are voting for other stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, the nature of the beast. But, yeah, you and I have cooked up our top five. I feel like we did top 10 last year.
Top 10 in the past, I think.
And it was a little...
It takes a little while to get through. And then on top of that, I think our top 10s tend to have more crossover than if we made ourselves narrow down to five.
Right. It seemed more efficient and like it would make more sense. Y'all let us know, because I was talking to Steve, and shout out to Steve. Steve was like, yo, are y'all doing like a five instead of a 10? And I was like, yeah, we're going to try out the five and see. You know what I mean? So maybe we come back with 10 next year. I don't know.
We'll see.
Maybe we roll with five. Y'all let us know what you would want to see.
Yeah.
Right. So how do you want to do this? You want to – obviously, we go from five to number one.
Yeah.
I
could give you mine first.
Yeah.
That's fine. My number five, again, like, this is no particular order. It's not necessarily saying like this was the fifth best album of the year.
Right.
It just happened to be in my top five of albums of the year.
Shit we fucked with.
Yeah.
Shit we thought, or for me at least, it was like stuff I liked / stuff I thought had like impact.
Yeah.
So I'm always thinking of like impact and how, you know, it affects like the broader culture. You know what I'm saying? It can't be, for me at least, it can't be like my man's around the way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's like whatever. It's always funny like doing like lists and stuff, because people are like rah 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 about lists. But yeah, top five SRS best albums this year.
Yeah. That being said, my man's around the way released a record called my five is What Was She Gonna Do, the Griselda Family.
Good fucking record.
Yeah. I mean, it's the first time we officially get, it's like the official release on Shady.
Yeah.
And it was hard as nails.
Yeah. And for folks who don't know, Griselda is Benny Conway and West Side Gun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, did you see he posted the first like record he really did? Fuck is it called? Flyest dude in the game or some shit like that.
Who, West Side Gun did?
Yeah.
And what year was that?
It's like 2010 or something like that.
Oh,
and
shit.
And supposedly he's dropping it on the first of the year. He like bought the rights to it or whatever.
What? Like a reissue thing?
Yeah. And he's going to drop it in the beginning of the year. And it's got like, it's still got like Conway listed as Cannon on there.
Yeah.
Sheen Guns on there.
Yeah.
I
just wrote a piece on What Would Machine Gun Do?
Yeah.
And I was reading not the police report, but like the local news report about his murder.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
Benny's on there, obviously. But it was like Benny was a baby.
That's crazy. I can't, because I be looking for their old shit. Because I know they did, was like that video circulating of Conway rapping, and it was like 08.
Yep.
And he had like the big Dickie suit on and like the fitted on and shit. I was like, oh, he looked like a Philly boy.
Yeah.
So I'd be looking for their old shit because I knew they was doing stuff. Yep. I haven't been able to find anything.
Yeah. So this is supposedly that's going to be releasing in a new year or whatever.
I'm all about it.
But what was Sheen going to do? Hard as fucking nails. If you're looking for like that hard shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, dude, they got shot. Fucking Drake shouted them out in the Rat Radar interview and yeah. shit. So
did you see the video? It's the funniest shit. They're I think they're playing a song from the album, but they're all in the studio and they like nodding their heads and shit. They playing this like grimy shit.
Yeah.
And you look in the corner, Hove is in the corner,
yeah,
just like nodding his head and shit. I'm like, dog.
Yeah, he was on Jay like released like through Tidal, he does it every year, like his like top 30 songs for the year.
Playlist shit. Like yeah.
Playlist for the year, and like all of them are on there.
Yeah, yeah. That's so, right up Hove Alley. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, exactly.
He probably be coming home to Beyonce, like got the battery in his back because he yeah. been hanging with Westside and yeah. shit. I want to see that reality show.
I'm thinking about like, you know, getting back in the booth, like 444, you know what I mean? Like,
get back in the drug game.
Yeah. Well, you know, flipping through pies that way I get some new lyrics. Like,
yo, I'm loving the thought of Hove like having a midlife crisis and hanging with Griselda and getting back into some grimy shit.
Yeah, you come home with a brand new set of Pyrex and a scale and shit. Like,
who gonna tell him something? Solange? Who gonna stop? Who gonna check him? Get out of here.
You got a picture of Hove in the kitchen whipping like. Listen,
like it's 88. We gotta do like a cartoon, we gotta do a skit or some shit. We gotta make that happen. But yeah, that record almost, the Griselda record almost made my five.
Yeah,
like it was like right there.
Yeah, well, mine battled with what your fifth is.
Right. So yeah, in a related record, Benny the Butcher put out a record with Smoke Dizza and Pete Rock on the production. It's called Statute of Limitations. Super dope fucking record.
Really dope record. Nice and short. Beautiful.
Mad short. You know what I'm saying? Hit you in the face, get the fuck out.
Listen, Pete still got it. Like, if you thought he didn't for whatever reason, right. Pete still got it.
Pete really, I don't even want to say surprises me, but like a pleasant surprise at how nice he still is with like flipping samples and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he never lost the shit.
Nah.
He never lost it.
He ain't lost a step, dog.
Yeah. I had the pleasure of interviewing him this year as well for a piece that I wrote on for a Bandcamp on like the history of beat tapes. And he was like super cool, you know what I mean? Got to like bust it up and chat with him. And it was funny because, you know, as a reporter, you have like your prepared questions and then you like talk shit. I don't like to prepare a lot of questions, but like I like to like talk to people. And we were chatting and I had, you know, I basically got all that I needed. And I was like, yo, you know, I'm going to let you go, blah, 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 blah. And he was like, nah, you know, don't rush. Like, I got time. Like, you want to just like talk, you know what I mean? So I was just asking him like historical shit.
Yeah, exactly. Just random shit for yourself.
Like, so I got it. I may like find a home for it somewhere, but like the longer interview. But yeah, I got like a whole phone conversation of me just asking him historical shit about beat making and sampling and production and shit. And like he shines on the Benny record. Yeah. Smoke Dizza is killing it on it, and Benny is like, you know, on like straight just rapping, Benny might be like the best right now.
Yeah, Benny's a monster, dog. You know, I told you early on, I was like, oh, Benny's my favorite out of Griselda.
Right.
Like, I don't want to say he's my favorite because I love West Side. Like, I just love West Side style. Like, you know what I mean? And I love Conway, of course. But like, I just think Benny is like the hardest. Dude.
Yeah. They're like a perfect blend.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote an article, is a headline. It said, every member of Griselda is the best member of Griselda. I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Because there's some days I wake up, I want to hear Westside just like talking that shit.
Yeah.
And then there's other days where maybe I need to rob my local bodega. I listen to fucking Conway and throw the mask on. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And then other times I want to hear Benny. They have different energies and different strengths, but they're all like the shit.
No, they monsters. And that record, that Smoke Dizza joint, and Benny is amazing.
Yeah.
So if fuck you haven't with it, checked that out, yeah.
Please fuck with it. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. My number four is your same as your number four.
Yes.
Fly Anakin and Big Kahuna OG Holly Water.
Mutant Academy. Best crew in rap.
Is
them or Griselda?
Yeah. Mutant Academy is definitely making that move. They're moving up the charts though.
Listen. That shit, like Fly Anakin is dope. Big Kahuna is dope. The beats on this shit are crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, yo. It's like these cats are from Richmond. You know what I mean? It's a lot of the beats
Richmond
are like
produces a lot of open MCs, yo.
Richmond was Mad Skills from Richmond.
Yeah,
Richmond got a lot of fucking music, yo.
Yeah,
they probably got like some old like jazz history or some shit too that we don't know about. You know what I mean? That'd be the shit. Like you be like, yo, Philly got a lot of rappers, but Philly had like a jazz foundation too.
Yeah,
that you know kind of feeds that shit. But yeah, this shit, the Holly Water album is really fucking dope. The song is called Fusion Dance on a Tab.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably my favorite song this year.
Word.
I played that shit endlessly. You know what I mean? And they really like, they kicking that fly shit, yep. Little bit of street shit, little bit of like, fuck out of here, nigga, type shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's like music that it's like tailored for us.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But yeah, that shit, that's my number four.
Yeah. Do you want to do your number three? Because then your number two and my number three are the same, so we can tackle them at the same time.
Right.
So do you want your number three?
Number three, Dreamville, Revenge of the Dreamers.
Yeah.
So J. Cole, I want to say, was it January of last year? That basically he had a bunch of young artists camp out in the studio. So it was folks under his stable, Earth Gang, the boy, I think his name is Boss, I think that's how you say it, Boss, J.I.D.,
yeah.
Ari Lennox, my man Guap Dad from the West Coast, Guap Dad 4000. He basically had like a camp for artists to come out and like, you know, just record, brought a bunch of producers through, and the Dreamville album was the result of that shit. And this shit is like, this is like the wave outside of like the, you know, young trap wave or like drill wave. This is like the 20-something wave, you know what I mean? This music that they're making. Earth Gang is probably the best group in rap, you know what I mean, as far as like duos or whatever. Guap Dad is killing it. They got a song called Rob a Wells Fargo. That's the shit. It's so fucking good.
I still haven't listened to this record. Like, I need to, and I know people, like, because I'm not a big J. Cole fan, so I avoided it out of, like, oh, I don't want to listen to J. Cole.
This shit.
Well, he's not on there a lot from what I've heard. And
yeah.
If he is, he's dope.
He's not all over it, but he's popping in. Like, the song with him and the baby is real dope.
Yeah.
It's, this shit officially sold me on Cole.
Word.
Officially. You know, for years, I was like, I don't fuck with Bull. But yeah, this shit officially sold me because he really gave a platform for like some of the like livest young niggas to like really come, and they rhyming on this shit. It's not like, you know how he, Cole has songs like, don't save her, she don't want to be saved, them types. Of, they ain't kicking ass. These niggas is rapping on this shit. Like, they really kicking like that fly shit. So I think you would like it. It's really fucking dope. The beats are dope. It's like a fly record. It sounds like Cole. You could feel his influence, but the energy is like on 10 because he got all of these like young, hungry dudes. They really, really spit.
And that probably sparked a good fire in him.
Right. That's how it is. You know, he opened up the dojo and they you could tell they in there like going in on this shit.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely going to check that out. I've been meaning to for a minute, and I just haven't got to it. But yeah, I'm definitely going to check that out. I'm going to skip my number three and go to my number two, only because your two, we'll talk about that next, because my two and your three are the, I mean, my three and your two are the same. So Young's Teflon, excuse me.
Word.
Blood, Swag, and Tears.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a grime artist from the UK. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I guess he could, I think he kind of considers himself more drill.
Yeah, yeah.
Named Grime. But he's a rapper from the UK. Like, dog, I'm honestly, this was close to being my favorite record of the year.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I love this record, dude. Blood, Swag, and Tears. It's well, he had like three mixtapes he dropped, which was Blood, then was Swag, and then was Tears.
Right.
And then like they combined them and dropped them, like kind of like how The Weeknd did his shit, where he had the trilogy joint. Yeah. So, this joint, I mean, like, there's not a bunch of like, there's not really much fall off on this record as far as like, you know, some tracks like eh. But like most of this record is so fucking good. Mm. Like
the shit I heard from it was crazy.
Yeah.
I ain't listened to the whole, like all of the EPs. But like yeah, the shit I heard was L.
Another record he has on the Top Boy soundtrack, Overseer, which I think is like amazing. Like yeah. That's what put me on. I was like, yo, this track is fucking what amazing. Is
yeah.
I need to go check out some more shit from the Bull. And that's when I listened. I got wind of this Blood, Swag, and Tears joint. Listening to this shit, and that shit was fucking flat out amazing.
Yeah.
So I definitely I say, like, if you don't love like those kind of artists, like grime artists, drill artists, UK drill artists or whatever, I would say check this dude out. Yeah. I think he's a lot more in the wave of like what people who like the shit we do would like this dude.
He would kind of win you over.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of like soul sample rhymes and shit like that on this record as opposed to like what you normally would get from like a Giggs or like a Stormzy or some shit like that.
Right,
you
right.
You know what I mean? This is a lot more like crossover to American audience.
Yeah, yeah. I would fuck with a wave like that. Like yeah. Some like electronic sounding like UK shit, but mix it with like the soul sample shit.
Yeah,
that might be a thing.
Yeah, he definitely like. I definitely say check this dude out. If you haven't checked dude out already, definitely go look for him.
Word.
Youngs with the S, Teflon.
Word.
Go ahead. Your number two.
Number two, which really, really could have been number one for me.
Absolutely.
And her record last year could have been number one if it wasn't. I can't remember if I had it number one last year. But Rhapsody, her album Eve, all dedicated to the glory of black women.
Yes.
This shit is dope.
Yeah, it's a super dope record. Really, I like this record better than her last record.
Right, right.
I definitely do.
They're like, they're related. They're like sister records to me. I don't know exactly which one I like more. I might lean more to the one last year, but yeah, this shit is a mind blower.
Yeah.
If you don't know, Rhapsody is out of Knife Wonder's Jamla camp, and yeah, she's just like one of the best MCs on the planet, like regardless of gender and all of that shit. We don't gender rappers, no way. We don't be like, oh, you know, she's one of the best female rappers in the game. Nah, she one of the best motherfuckers spitting, period.
Yeah.
Right? This record's incredible. The first single, she did like the remake of the GZA Liquid Sword shit. She has a song on here with Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
That is fucking amazing.
Yeah, you said it legit brought you to tears the first time.
I cried hearing that shit because Queen Latifah, when I was a kid and Ladies First came out, I remember her and Moni Love. I remember sitting in my living room as a kid watching the video and her and Moni Love. Moni was like, she kind of gave me like kid sister kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
She was like young and like fly and all of that. And Latifah was just like, she was a queen.
Yeah, yeah.
She had like the crown on and shit in the video, and they were showing like
Ladies First.
That shit made me feel something that I had never felt before.
Yeah.
So I've always loved Queen Latifah and like really adored her for that. And hearing her on the Rhapsody record, the song is beautiful. I'm pretty sure Knots made the beat. Shout out to Knots, who's also like the best beat maker in the world to me. Since Dilla died, really. But Knots, I think Knots made the beat, but the track is gorgeous. It's like a piano joint chopped up, and Latifah comes in, and I was listening to it. I remember when I first heard it, I was listening to it in headphones, and just hearing her that she's still here and like still kicking that shit. It brought tears to my eyes. I was in the crib like, crying off of that shit, 'cause I was like, damn, Latifah really like came out of nowhere, like knocked this verse out. And hip hop is beautiful because a part of the way that I am as a man is related to what Latifah put in the world as a woman.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I like, it was like respect and like deep joy that made me feel this shit. And Rhapsody, her album is full of moments like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even the Liquid Swords joint that she did, there's one scene where they have Roxanne Shanté with like a crown on. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that shit, you could feel that Rhapsody loves black women and put that love into this record.
This record, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, Rhapsody Eve is like, it could have easily been number one.
Oh yeah, no doubt. It's a great record. I mean, like, flat out, like I said, I like it even more than her last record, which I loved.
Last record was crazy, yeah. This shit is definitely, they neck and neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, another, for my number one, is another woman, MC. Again, not, but like, that's not, make a difference. But like,
they know what it is.
Little Sims record, Gray Area.
A good fucking record that could have easily cracked my top five. I didn't listen to, you was telling me for a while.
Yeah.
And I listened to it recently and I was like, fuck, this shit is incredible.
It's a flat out amazing record. Like, it legit is my favorite record of the year. It's what I've listened to the most. It's not really like, it's not grime at all.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like a jazzy, like mid 90s hip hop record.
It's some other shit.
Yeah. It's more Roots and like Diggable Planets than it is like Skepta. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like much more Roots inspired to me than it is like UK grime.
Right.
But like, whatever you want to call it, it's a fucking amazing record. Yeah. However,
and she's spitting on that shit too. She could rap her ass off.
Yeah, definitely. And doesn't, I don't care what she's talking. She's talking about dudes. Because like, there's one whole record where she's like literally talking about like the dude that left her to raise her daughter by himself and shit like that.
Mm.
And like, I don't care that it's like, you know what I mean? Like, what, like,
why wouldn't she rap?
Yeah,
about
it's
that,
just
though?
A dope record. Like, why would I care? So I definitely think, like, for me, it's my favorite record this year. Too flat out, no BS, no drama. It's my favorite record this year. Dude. It's an amazing record. You know?
What's Gray Area?
Gray Area.
Yeah.
Definitely. Little Sims, like, check that shit out. It's a fucking amazing record, man.
My number one is based on the music, but also, like, cultural significance. Gangstar, one of the best yet. We had no idea. A few months ago, Premier, I want to say it was in November or October, Premier, like, jumped on Instagram. It was just basically like, yo, what if I dropped a new Gangstar album?
Yeah.
We didn't expect that shit at all.
No, I kind of thought we got what we had from Guru, and it's fine. Like, you know what I mean? And
Guru,
like,
passed away, rest in peace. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And we had what we had from Guru, and that's what it was. And listen, he's on Mount Olympus already. So like, I'm not really like, oh man, he need more to prove his legacy.
I thought it was it.
Yeah.
It's so, apparently, for folks who don't know, when Guru passed away, the producer that he was working with, who was also like his like confidant or whatever, a gentleman named Solar, not to be confused with MC Solar from France, who Guru also collaborated with. This producer, Solar, had produced a deathbed letter that, said that Guru had wrote this letter saying that he didn't want anything to do with Gangstar, didn't want anything to do with DJ Premier or any of this. When the shit happened, this is Guru passing like 2010, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
He early part of the decade group passed away. And when that shit happened, I was like, that shit's fake. Guru didn't write that letter on his deathbed. Me and you had a problem. I've known you most of my life. Me and you had a problem. My dying words is not going to be, I don't want Josh to have anything to do with anything
CCM-related or RSR-related.
At all. That's not what I'm doing. So I knew that shit was fake. So long story short, it all came out. Even the doctor that was working with Guru said there was no way he wrote this. The state that he was in before he died, there's no way he wrote this thing. So there was some kind of like legal maneuvering or whatever, and Premier got access to the last sessions and like vocals that Guru had recorded.
Yeah.
And they put together this album, one of the best yet. And, you know, I've heard some folks be like, oh man, this could have been better, that could have been better. This is like, they knocked it out the park with this shit, as far as I'm concerned.
I always am like leery of like posthumous albums and absolutely shit like that, because, you know, listen, there's a reason why sometimes shit ends up on the cutting room floor. Like, right, you know what I mean?
Right. You see what they did with Pac.
Yeah. Pac, like, they died. Dragged every ounce. They took that towel and they wring that motherfucker so dry. Like, they drained every ounce of shit that they could get out of it.
And Pac sneezed on the mic.
Yeah.
They put out a Machiavelli volume for that shit. You know what I mean?
So there was, I'm always leery of like, oh, well, you know, this is going to be a posthumous album. Like, let's see. Like, all right. But like, they did a really good job with it. It was similar to the Cameron project that we talked about last week, where I was like, leery going in.
Right.
You know what I mean? On top of like, listen, I love Premier, and Premier is, you know, he's a legend in this shit. There's newer Premier beats I haven't loved.
Right.
And I was like, wow, what are we going to get, like, production wise and like fitting vocals from other songs on the different records? Doesn't all like rarely works.
No, not everybody. Yeah, you can't always do that.
And now I will say, I would expect Premier to be able to make shit like the best he could, to make, you know, the shit hit when it's supposed to hit, when Guru's hitting, like, you know what I mean?
And he knows shit. Guru's voice.
Exactly.
Intimately, so his patterns and shit.
That I was a little more like, well, you know, Premier is a legend for that. But again, I'm like, I've heard Premier shit lately where I'm like, it's just okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was worried about it, but like, I mean, they put out an amazing project.
He got busy on this shit. He got busy on it. They got J. Rue on it. Mm-hmm. J. Cole kills it. He got busy with this shit.
Definitely.
Yeah, rest in peace, Guru, yo.
Absolutely, rest in peace,
Guru. That is my number one.
That's your number one.
One of the best yet.
I have a couple records that I think deserve some love. Anderson .Paak's record that came out this year.
Ventura.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good.
Beautiful
after,
record.
After the one that we both didn't really like that much.
Which I listened to later.
Yeah, and like a little more, you said.
Yeah, yeah. It grew on me a little bit.
What's my other man's name? Well, I can't think of it. Gold Link's record.
Gold Link's
record. Yeah, the last record. Yeah. Really good. There was a bunch of dope stuff, and like if we would have did 10, I think the Gold Link record probably would have ended up making its way onto my top 10.
Word.
There's some really dope records out this year. So it's not to slight anything that didn't make our list or something like that. Shout out to our brother who released his first project this year, Deck 4.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Self-titled project, DEC4.
Yeah.
Definitely check that out if you haven't checked that out already. I don't know. I'm trying to think of anything else that would like is like an honorable mention for me.
I would say maybe, not to cut you off, I would say maybe we could throw it up on Twitter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is our five, and then another five.
Yeah, definitely. So I would say make sure you're checking out the Twitter feed, Instagram. I'll be throwing up different projects probably in our stories about like which stuff was which this year for us. Other than that, you'll make sure you are following us on Instagram, Twitter.
Come on.
Serious Rap Shit on all those places. Like and subscribe, rate and review. And, you know, just show love. And
don't write bad reviews.
Don't write bad reviews.
Because Josh reads them.
I go down black holes. No, I literally just happened to, like, scroll past and saw it. And was like,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Like, you know,
I don't even
man.
Look at that page, dog.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
I should. But I literally did. I was like, wow, dry and boring. All right. I see you, fam.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Absolutely.
You're entitled to be wrong.
You know how much shit I do? That nigga, his wife is probably dry and boring.
Yeah. Exactly. But no, listen, you know, check us out. We'll be back next week with some more heat.
Yeah. Peace.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
With a new perspective.
News with a black perspective.
The Black Information Network is the first all-news audio and digital network
for and by the black community.
Get the podcast and get the biggest news and business stories delivered to you every morning.
Subscribe to the Black Information Network daily and wake up with the latest from the Black Information Network.
Loaded and ready to go when you are.
Listen to the Black Information Network daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, lovelies. This is Arden Marine, and you may know me from Chelsea Lately or as Regina Sinclair on Insatiable. I want to tell you about my podcast, Will You Accept This Rose, where we recap all the seasons of The Bachelor franchise, and we are very excited to talk about the new season of The Bachelor with Matt James. We chat about it with celebrity guests, including Lance Bass, Doug Benson, and Lacey Mosley. Catch our episodes every Wednesday and listen to Will You Accept This Rose on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Join us on this love journey.